they had denied him the job. And Al was like, no, Dad, that's okay. That's okay. I said, I understand. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't understand this. You know, they hired somebody that was, you know, he was a, they just hired this guy. He was a convicted murderer. Locked up. He used to work for the water company, committed the crime, got locked up, and they hired him back. And so I just figured this was a test for me to see what I was going to do. Because I said, Lord, faith without works is dead. And he said, what you going to do? And so I just started going up to the offices of these HR, you know, people, trying to find out, I mean, what went wrong? What's going on? I mean, you guys are saying you need all of these people. I sent my son up here. I never could get a hold of nobody, but I kept going back. I was leaving notes. Early in the morning, I go to this office, and I make my stop at this office, and I call over Craig Road to that office. I got on their nerve, Ladner and Al. I said, it ain't no way. He said, he kind of laughed and said, well, Dad, what you going to do? He said, what you mean? He said, I'm fine with it. He said, what can you do, Dad? I said, I can't do nothing, but I know somebody that can. I said, you just hold on. And then that's when Tawana had that dream. And then after she had the dream, I should have just been okay with that. But I was still kind of a little shaky. Like, okay, I wonder if they're going to. Tawana said, look, I ain't worried about that. And I thought, if she ain't worried about it, look, why am I worried about this thing? I got to believe God. I got to give him praise. After I done prayed with Thanksgiving, Jace, I got to believe who I'm talking to and what I'm saying, that he hears me and know that it's going to come to pass. So I just thank the Lord for what he's doing, and I just believe. And God ain't just doing it for to give out no job. It's greater than that. We know. You know, by love and kindness have I drawn thee. I believe the Lord is breaking them down. That's the one way you can break somebody down. You know, I used to think you break them down by you throw a stone at me, I'm throw one back at you. You know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's what I used to believe. But God said, you can't do that kind of stuff. You know, you got to love your enemies. You know, and so by loving kindness have I drawn thee. By loving kindness, I'm going to draw them. I got to do something good in their life so they can understand and know that it's me doing it. Because he don't see how this could happen. I said, with God. Just kept saying, you know, with God. Our God. Because it was a time, y'all forgive me, it was a time that I was afraid to even speak to him about the Lord, about God, because he was so bitter. Wasn't he, Tawana? Just bitter. You know, after what God has done for him, he was dead and saw himself dead. All these things that happened to him. And I wonder how in the world he's not serving the Lord. And so I tried to talk to him about the Lord. I mean, he was bitter. I was so afraid to talk to him about God because I didn't want him to blaspheme God. So, Lord, I don't want him talking bad about you, you know. I don't know if you're going to forgive that, so I just kept my mouth shut. I was afraid. But then Lord said, don't be afraid. Talk to him. Let him know who's going to get him this job. It ain't none of me. It's God. I said, man, this is God going to get, the Lord going to get you in there, man. And the last time I talked to him about something, I said, he said it. There ain't nobody but God. I said, come on, Lord, break him down. Break him all the way down. I mean, I said, that's right. You know, I'm like, hey, there's nobody but God. That's right. Nobody but the Lord. I had to put the Lord in there. Jesus, I'm pushing Jesus and I'm pushing all of them in there. But they all won. But I'm like, Lord, you do what you got to do. You know, God going to work this thing out. Jesus going to fix it, and it's all in his plan, all in his plan. So I just thank the Lord again for being here this morning. Thank God for what he's doing in my life, how he's helping me, showing me how to do things in other people's lives, help them. You know, I'm in a walk right now where I've never been before, and I'm waiting on God to show me what to do, you know, in this situation. But I thank God again for my pastor. All you saints, I thank the Lord for my wife, children, grandchildren. I just thank the Lord for just being saved. I thank him for choosing me one day. I never shall forget what you've done for me. You know, how he came and rescued me out of sin and shame. You know, he rolled my reproach away, you know, when he came and got me out of that nightclub. So I love him, you know, for first loving me. And we're going to be reading in the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2. The devil think he's got a foothold, but he ain't got no foothold. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And that's what he's doing. He's deceiving God's folk. He come to steal, kill, and to destroy. I believe the Lord gave me a dream. He gave me, I don't know if it was a dream, vision. He showed me two parts. First part, he showed me, I was talking to Tawana about the groves in the Bible. She said, I ain't never heard about no groves in no Bible. And the Lord showed me, I was right on Manchester and Sarah. They call it the Grove now. You know, you got Tower Grove. And Twan and I was discussing. She said, what is a grove? I said, well, Abraham was the first one to plant a grove. It was trees. And so after Abraham, God started telling the people, don't plant no groves. You know, tear them down. They were worshiping idols during that time. And the grove, I thought, well, shoot, that's a bad name. And then when this month came, it popped in my spirit, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before it fall. And I started thinking about pride. I said, Lord, this is pride month. The whole month is pride. They, in the groves, they got the street blocked off. Now, I was down there yesterday, me and Kobe. They got the streets blocked off, and I mean, they just, they do everything down there. They do everything down there, just like it was in the biblical days. And he said, pride before destruction. They're having their pride. They're proud about who they are. Their spirits are lifted up high. But God said, I'm going to put an end to it. He said, I'm going to put an end to all of that. And I've been crying out against it. Every time I go down there, every time I think about it in prayer, I say, Lord, I cry out against this sin. I say, I cry out against what they're doing, what our government is doing. It's the government also is implementing these things. You know, it's so much that the government is doing. And I find this stuff out through my sons. You know, they reading this news and all of this stuff, what the president and all this stuff is implementing. I don't know if you've heard, Gwen, that there, he said, if the schools don't adhere to this pride and this sin, he's cutting the funds off from feeding the poor people. No schools. He said he's going to cut them off if they don't agree to the terms of whatever this they trying to push into the schools with this, you know, this sin. He said, won't be no more free lunches for the, you know, for the poor. And so they just got this thing all messed up and trying to push. But God, I believe just like when the people of Israel sinned and Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Come over here. God trying to get the people that's on the Lord's side to come over here. And he opened up that ground. And mind you, if y'all hear what I'm saying, mind you that we sit on a pneumatic fault. God can open up this here ground and swallow up all that mess. And if you don't watch it, if you're part of it, the church, you're going to get swallowed up with it. So you better come on the Lord's side and start living like you're supposed to live. Live like you used to live. Preach like you used to preach. Teach like you used to teach. Shout like you used to shout. Praise God like you used to praise him. God getting tired of all this stuff, but people think they're getting away with it. You ain't getting away with nothing. God is just so merciful. He's giving you time and time and time again to get yourself in order. And so I thought, Lord, you know, those two parts of them visions or dreams, whichever one it was, you know, the Lord showed me these things. He showed me that grove years ago, but then this month, pride came up. They showed enough pride. They're proud about what they're doing. They got commercials. They got medicines to keep them from getting sick. When a man lay with a man, You know, it's just ridiculous of what's going on. You know, it's not the people that, you know, we're disgusted with. It's the sin. You know, I may be on air, but I stand here to say I'm disgusted with sin. Not just that, all unrighteousness. All of it. If you can think of anything that's unright, I'm disgusted with it. And God, it's an abomination in his eyes. So, but God got something for this devil. He sure do. He got something as you, who he got. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Lord, to handle your word, Father. We thank and praise you, Father God, for what you have already done. Lord, we praise you, God, even in advance for what you're going to do. Somebody said this morning, I'm praising him for what I haven't seen yet, Lord. So, Lord, we're praising you, God, for what we haven't even seen yet. Because, God, we know that you got things prepared for us, God, that eyes have not seen nor ears heard, God. Neither have it entered into the hearts of people, God, what you have prepared for us. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, God, for preparing, God, this word for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we can get in it, God, each and every day and receive our daily bread. Father, I ask that you would use me for the time that you allow to me. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask. Amen. Give God some praise this morning. He is good. He's worthy to be praised. His mercy endured forever. Hallelujah. We'll be talking a little bit about Elisha and Elijah. 2 Kings 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord had sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord would take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord had sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord would take away the master from thy head today? And he said, and he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood and viewed far off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on the dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I should do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. We'll back up here. It is Elijah. God is sending Elijah from Gilgal to Bethel. From Bethel, he's sending them to Jericho. From Jericho to Jordan, across the Jordan River. And he said, he told him to stay here. And he said, as long as you live, as long as the Lord live, I will not depart from you. And so many times people they want what God has, the power of God, the blessings of God, but they're departing from God. But this man says, as long as you live, as long as God live, I ain't going to depart from you. And so in order for us to get what God has, we got to stay in touch with God. And here it is, verse 7. And 50 men of the sons prophets went and stood and viewed far off, and they too stood by Jordan. Them 50 men should have been going with them too. Ain't too many people going to follow God in this day. Ain't too many people going to follow the men and women of God, especially when they see hard things up ahead. They're going to stand afar off just like these 50 prophets. And these prophets, they just ministers. They're standing so far off to where they just feel like, well, no, I don't know what they was feeling like, but some people feel like that they just can't handle, or they don't have what it take to follow God. And sometimes you may feel like yourself that you don't have what it take to do what God has put in your possession to do. Let me tell you that I believe everybody once in their life that they, when they were called, they felt like they didn't have what it take. But when you obey God and you feel like that, look, God, I don't care what it is, how it gets, I'm going to stay with you. As long as you live, and I know you never die, as long as my soul lives, I'm going to stay with you. Oftentimes we want what God have, but we don't want to go through what we got to go through to get what he has for us. We want the low road, the high road, one of them roads, them good roads. We don't want that rough road. We want that straight and narrow. We want it plain, Lord, make my way plain. God going to make your way plain after you made your crooked path straight. You got to go through some crooked things first. You got to go through some tough times first, so we'll know who God is. He knew this man of God. They saw the miracles that Elijah performed. And he said, look at here, Elijah, I want a double portion of what you got. From my understanding that Elijah only did 8 miracles, and Elisha supposed to have done 16 miracles. God is telling us something in that right now. He's telling us something in that right now. And he said, and Elijah took his mantle. Did I stop it? Yeah. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I would do for thee. And he said, before I'm taken away. And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken away, it shall be so. If not, and it shall not be so. It is. He's saying, if you see this now, we got to see some things. In order for us to see some things, we got to stay with God. And right now we in a place in our lives, we're in a place in this time where the churches ain't full no more like they used to be full. The miracles, we don't see too many miracles performing no more. But when a soul gets saved, that is the biggest miracle. That's what we were talking about the other night. Me, Tawana, and this man we met in the neighborhood, and he was talking about miracles. Tawana was giving her testimony about how God is healing her meniscus. You know, he's mending it back, getting it back strong. See, we were just letting him talk, but when Tawana started telling her miracle, he's like, oh man, that's a miracle. I see a walking miracle. That's a miracle. You know, he said something about a greater miracle. I said, well, I know that there's a greater miracle. It's a miracle when God takes somebody wretched like me and change my mind and change my wretched heart and make it do what he want to do, not forcing me, but willingly. That is the biggest miracle to me. When God can take a person from the gutter, when God can take somebody that's no good, as the world say, and change their way of living, their way of thinking, that is a miracle. To where you want to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you say do. I'll go, Lord, wherever you say go. I'll speak whatever you tell me to speak, Lord. I don't care. Long as you tell me, Lord, then I will do this. That is a miracle. Healing is a miracle. Yes, it is. That's a miracle. And I began to tell him what God told me about my meniscus. I said, I had a torn meniscus. Did you get surgery, sir? I said, no, sir, I didn't get surgery. I had the best surgeon there ever was. That's what I was disclaiming on my job. I had the best surgeon. I said, I ain't got no 6 weeks, Lord, to be off. I can't afford to be off 6 weeks, Lord. And I just went. Pastor was preaching one time, and as they went, they were here. So I'm going to work, Lord, with my knee brace on. And they started making fun at me. One person called me, here come knee brace. I said, that's right. It won't be one day. One day I won't be wearing this knee brace. And then somebody said, well, it's going to be, man, you have to have a surgery. It's going to be 6 weeks and this going to happen. That's going to happen. Then here come another brother said, yeah, man, he right. It's going to be 6 weeks. And I just looked at him. I didn't utter a word. And one of them was a minister of the gospel. I just looked at him. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, yes. Because this is the God that we preach about. This is the God that you talk about every Sunday. But I talk about him Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I talk about him every day about what he can do. I ain't got to go to church to talk about what God can do. God gonna do this thing. And God did that thing. I didn't have no limp. Still ain't got no limp. I get down on my knees and he said, man, you make my knees hurt. You know, bro, how you do that? And he's younger than I am. And so he had to have a surgery. He had a torn meniscus. He came back with a limp after 6 weeks being off. I didn't say nothing. I said, Lord, look what the Lord has done for me. Look what you can do, Lord. If only people can believe God, look what you can do for them. Look what you just wait on God. I wanted to go and get me get surgery because I'm like, man, this thing hurt. It goes and it comes. And I thought, and the Lord said, just let it heal. Just let it heal. Stop stressing it. And I stopped stressing it. I had to slow down for a while. And God came through and now I'm back up to 100. I go. And I know he probably going to slow me down again. But he said, look, you've asked a hard thing. We've asked some hard stuff, but look, if you stick around long enough, you'll be able to see those things. Ain't nothing too hard for God. He said, you've asked something real hard, but if you see it, that's what some people got to see. Now, they got to see God moving. They got to see the work of God. And they seeing it every day in us as we get out there and start testifying about what God done. And then you got your witness right now. She ain't have no surgery. Yeah, she had a torn meniscus. She went to doctor, but one doctor told her, well, come on, let's have a surgery. He was real nasty to her. Come on, you need to have this surgery. He wanted to make some money, but the other one said, no, you don't need it. I don't think you need to have the surgery. I said, just wait on him. You know, I said, let me buy you a knee brace. You be knee brace like me. You know, let me help you out. You just wait for God. God gonna do this thing. If God did it for me, if he did it for you, God can do it for anybody, but you just got to trust and believe God. But Brother Al, ain't no but my God shall supply all my needs. If it's any but my God, I don't hear no buts. But he says, if you see this thing, then it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Look, we're going to go back up to Gilgal. I'm going to read Joshua 5 and 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Here it is now. God was taking them from Gilgal to go down to Bethel. And Gilgal simply means a rolling away. What did God just tell Joshua? He said, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. God has rolled the reproach off of all of us that are saved. One day God came and got me out of a nightclub, wherever you was, God came and got you and rolled your sins away. He rolled your reproaches away. So they left Gilgal. I left the world. I say Gilgal is the world because God has rolled our reproaches away, your sin, your shame. And all of that stuff that you used to have in you. And he sends them on down to where? Bethel. What is Bethel? What does Bethel mean? Bethel simply means the house of God. He pulled you out of the world. Now he ain't gonna send this man down to the house of God. Why I need to go down to the house of God? Because you got to be taught some things, Brother Al. I got this sin off of you. I got you out of the world. But there's some things that you need to go through while you're in the house of God. Some things that you need to learn. So he sends him down to Bethel where the prophets was. That's the first time where the prophets came up. He said, God sends him to the house of God where the prophets, the sons of the prophets are. And you sit among the sons of the prophets. All is going well. Everything is good. And here come Elisha. Following behind Elijah. Hey, Elijah, don't you know? I'm going to let you in on a secret. Don't you know that God is going to take away Elijah head from you? Don't you know he's going to take Elijah away? Yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. But that ain't going to stop me. That ain't going to deter me from following God. They ain't going to deter me from following this man of God. They ain't going to deter me from following this woman of God. I don't care what happens. I'm going to follow God. So God is telling me, he's taking him from Gilgal to the house of God. God is taking you from out of the world, put you in the house, and some folk just can't stay in the house long enough. They can't stay in the house long enough. They stay over this house. They go over to that house. They go to that house. That house, they ain't staying long enough to see God move. You know, maybe God already moved and you came. Maybe God is probably ahead of them, or maybe they're ahead of God. You know, you want to go to this house, and God said, no, you stay here. As long as the Lord living, as long as my soul living, I will not leave you, Lord. I ain't going nowhere. Well, you need to go somewhere else, Brother Al. I've been told, as long as you stay, you ain't going to grow. As long as you do that, you ain't going to grow. You ain't going to come up to what you're supposed to be. It ain't got nothing to do with the person. It ain't got nothing to do with the person. It's all about God. God is looking for faithfulness. This man says, as long as the Lord liveth, as long as your soul liveth, I will not leave you. Lord, as long as my soul liveth, Lord, I won't leave, Lord. I'm going to be here and see what the end going to be, because there's too many great things that's been prophesied over Revival Center. Too many great things, and I want to be a part of it. Lord, whatever you're doing in those seasons, I want to be in it. In order for you to be in, you got to stay. You got to stay with the Lord. You got to stay in the house of God. You got to stay at Bethel. So he sent them from Gilgal, and he sent them to Bethel, to the house of God. Why do God send us to this house? David said, look, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thine free spirit, Lord. And he said, then, once you restore me, I send you to his house after he gets you out, roll your reproach away. He send you to his house so he can restore the joy of your salvation. For what? David said, and then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee, Lord. How else God gonna get this work done? God wants to use you. He wants to use you. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He said, then I'll teach. How can you teach? You got to be taught. You got to stick with the house. You got to stick with the Lord. You got to stick with God. And so God can teach you. Then you can get out there and testify. Then you can get out of them corners and say what God has done for you. And then you'll see souls converted unto God. That's what he was doing. And then he takes him from Bethel, and he takes him on over to Jericho. And we know what Jericho was all about. Jericho was the city that Joshua took. They marched around it 7 times. You know, God took him to Jericho because Jericho was a wretched city. They worshiped moon deities. But God's sending us places, putting us in places because God sees that somebody needs him. Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria. Why did he got to go to Samaria? Why did he had to send this man to Jericho after he left the church out? Somebody's in Jericho. Somebody's in your Jericho that needs to hear from you. Rahab was in Jericho. This woman was crying out for God. She had to be. She said, I know and heard about the dread of your God. See, people know about our God. And this just seems like we don't know nothing about our God. They heard the wondrous works that he does and they'll wait for him. They are seeking, but we, I guess we got a little bit complacent and we got a little bit spoiled. He just gonna do it for me. But he sent him to Jericho to seek out this woman because he knew that this woman needed to be saved. Her family needed to be saved. God is gonna send us some places because he knows that people need to hear the word of God. People gonna need to hear from you. People gonna need to hear how good God is. How else they gonna hear? They ain't gonna hear it too much on TV. They ain't gonna hear it on the Game Boy. You know, we often go in these houses, me and this brother that I love so dearly. We come back and we rejoice. It's almost like we living in the book of Acts. You know, we come back sometimes, we've been slain because somebody done cussed us out, called us out of our names and all kind of stuff. But when we come back rejoicing that type of thing had went on. But also, we done met somebody that needed the Lord. Young men sitting on the couch, sitting in their mama's houses, playing the games. You mind if I talk to your son, man? Please. Please talk to him. Can I talk to him? Please. I'll lead. Please. God putting you in positions to where you got to speak a word to somebody. It may not be a whole bunch of words, but God is putting us in positions to where we have to do something. There's some things that need to be said that they ain't never heard before. And you think people all over the world heard the gospel. People right here in Ferguson, St. Louis City, Winston. There's people right around of us ain't never heard the gospel. They ain't never heard. They talk about certain things, but they ain't never heard this gospel. This man that we were talking about, he said that they don't, his teacher that he was trying to be a Catholic priest said everything that the Bible says about miracles wasn't true. You know, that's the gospel. He said that none of that stuff happened, man. And so you got people out here believing that they can't get healed. You got people believing that they can't be delivered. And he got to talking about purgatory. And every time somebody talk about purgatory, Gwen pops in my mind. I just start laughing. Because I couldn't wait to tell him about George. But he said when they got to talking about purgatory, he's like, wait a minute. Where was Lazarus and Abraham, and where was the rich man? He said, that let me know that can't nobody pray you out of hell. He said, ain't no purgatory. I said, let me tell you this story about this sister of mine. So she works with a bunch of Catholics. And so they got this man in there. I don't know what's up with him. But they got to talking about purgatory. I don't know how the story go. And my sister said, so-and-so, I want to call his name. Who going to pray you out of purgatory? Don't nobody like you. Boy, he fell out. Man, almost wrote. So if you got to have people that love you that's going to pray for you, whether you in purgatory or up here or wherever you at, you got to have somebody that's going to be praying for you. Somebody's going to be laboring before you get to your purgatory. And you got to be praying to God in the name of Jesus. They got all these other things and all this other stuff, Mary and all. I mean, just so much that people are taught that's not right. And we are patting them on the back, telling them, okay, yeah, they are. It's not the truth. Only the truth is going to make you free. You got to tell them, I don't care if they are good Catholics. I don't care. If they ain't worshiping, ain't serving Jesus, they are in trouble. I'm standing here today to tell them if Jesus is not the one that you're praying to, you in trouble. You got to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Ain't nothing wrong with praying to the Holy Father. Paul said, I thank God, my Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But you got to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Or she gonna get nothing done. You gonna wake up, you ain't gonna be in purgatory. You gonna wake up and see yourself in hell because you wouldn't acknowledge the Son. And so they sends them to Jericho, and from Jericho, they sends them on down to Jordan. And Jordan simply means to flow down. Something was flowing down from Jordan. And Elijah, they went to Jordan. I'm going to read verse 12. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father." This is after the Lord took him up. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, verse 11, that behold, there appeared chariot of fire and horses of fire, parted them asunder. Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. So he went on back to where they came from. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the God, the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Here it is. They went back. He went back to Jordan. And Jordan means to flow down. And when he said he smote the rivers with that mantle or cloak, he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He knew that that cloak didn't have no power in it. He knew that power didn't flow from Elijah's clothes. You can't hold on to pastor's coattail and think you're going to get in. He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He knew that this power came from up high and divided these waters. We got to know that there is a flowing that's going to come through us. There's a flowing that's going to come from heaven down in you, and you're going to get the work done. And he went back over to the prophets, the sons of prophets, which were to view at Jericho, and saw him. They said, "The spirit of Elijah do rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, "Behold, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go and pray thee and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord had taken him up and cast him up on some mountain or in some valley." And he said, "Don't go." Here it is. They saw the powers of God from afar off. Here it is, this man of God. That's why it's important to stay with the Lord. People are looking afar off. They're seeing things from a distance. You got to get up and up close and personal with God. That's what he wants. He wants you to see it vividly. You know, the dreams and all of that stuff. God wants to be precise and vivid. He wants you to know that without a doubt that it was him. No doubt whatsoever. It was God. We got 50 strong men. Let us go and search him out. You know, God, in other words, they ain't think God was able to do that. Take him to heaven like that. They thinking everybody got to die. So he said, "Let us go and search him. Maybe God put him on a mountain somewhere, maybe in a valley somewhere. Let's go and search." He said, "No, don't go. I'm telling you what I seen now. You know, I'm telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what God had told me. I'm telling you what God showed me. But now let us go anywhere and search him out." Well, go ahead. The Bible said he got ashamed. Said, "Go and search him out." They searched for 3 days, the Bible says. They came back without Elijah. He was gone, just like he said. See, God is trying to show us that God is in control. There is a fountain that's flowing. Jesus said, "Out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water." God wants to speak through us. God wants us to tell somebody something. I don't know what he wants me to tell them until I get to there, until I get to Jordan, until I get back over to Jericho. And when they urged him, now verse 18, and when they came again, for they tarried at Jericho, and he said unto them, "Did I not tell you to go? I told you not to go. Y'all wanted to go anyway." So you got to be careful. When God tell you, don't go, don't go. But if you keep on, "Lord, I want to go. I want to see. I want to go. I know you didn't do this. I know it wasn't. I know it. I know it wasn't. I know you couldn't have done this. And the men of the city said to Elijah, behold, I pray thee. The situations of this city is pleasant as my Lord see it, but the water is naught and the ground is barren. Elijah goes back over with the prophets over there in Jericho. Jericho was the city, but God told Joshua to curse that city. He said, if anybody build it up, let them build up on their first son and their last son. So the city was built back up, and God cursed that individual who built the city. But God can turn a curse into a blessing. And so he goes back over to these young prophets to show them what God has done in his life. And God is going to show us what he has done in our life. Yes, God is showing us some things now, but we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing in that. He said that they said this water is naught and the ground is barren. And he said, bring unto me, a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it unto him. And he went forth unto the spring of the water and cast the salt in there and said, thus said the Lord God, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or burning. This place was a thriving place, God had, but they were lacking some good water. He said this place is barren, but the situation is good, man of God. It's okay, but we need something else. We need some fresh water. We need some clean water. People ain't got no clean water. They got these old skins trying to put fresh water in it, fresh oil in it, fresh wine in it. But he said, bring me a new cruse. In other words, bring me a new vessel. Give me something new and put salt in it. Why wouldn't he just take the salt in his hands and throw it in the water? It would have worked. God is showing us something. He said, bring me a new cruise. God is saying, bring me somebody new, somebody I done cleaned up. If anybody's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Give me something that I can put something in that will hold, that can help people. And he took the new cruise, the new vessel, and they said he threw it into the waters, and the waters became clean. I don't care how bad the situation is. I don't care how bitter the water was back when Moses did. But God is saying that I'm going to put some salt in the devil's game. He starts sprinkling that salt in there. We got to start sprinkling some salt in this devil's game. We got to start speaking the word of God out there in this world. And it's going to change some barren situation. It's going to change this bitter situation. Some people are in some bitter situations. There's some bitter things going on out there. And only God can use us. What Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. If you lose your flavor, your seasoning, where can this world be salted? God wants to sprinkle some salt all over this land. God wants us to tell the people that are living wrong, people that they can't, that they just can't believe the miracles of God. It's impossible for this to happen. But I got this going on in my life. God don't care about that. Just trust God. That's all I got to do. Tell him, look, man, if you can just believe God with me, I believe God can turn this situation around. So I tell my son, man, if you can just believe God with me, son, God can do all things, anything. Ain't nothing impossible. He did it for you once. He did it for somebody else. He'll do it. He wants to do it for you. He want a new cruise. He want a new vessel. God he don't want to just keep using us. He wants somebody new. Give me somebody else because they can reach this person. You're not around the people that they're around. He can reach those people. I can only reach the ones that I'm around. So God is saying it don't make no difference how salty the situation, the bitter the situation is. We just got to get saltier. And so we got to be some salty saints. That all right? We got to be some salty saints. Have you ever sat around some old folk, elders, back in the day? I remember my daddy buying them long Jubilee watermelons. Them long ones. and you slice them long, biting off of them, whew, boy, that ain't even sweet. That bring me some salt. See, God's salt ain't like our salt. He said, bring me some salt. Put that salt on it, now bite it. It make it so sweet. Y'all ain't never put salt on your fruit? That ain't, whoo, try it. My daddy showed me, they said, sprinkle some salt on it, son. Huh? You did? Well, I did it too, and I know it worked. I know it. What salt, this salt that God is talking about, it's going to make how can it make a bitter situation sweet? It's got to extract something out of you. And God put some goodness in everybody. But you need some salt sometimes to bring that goodness out. That's what God is saying. We need this salt. God said, you're the salt of the earth. And if you lose your saltiness, how are we going to salt this raggedy, wretched place? We got to have some salty people. So we just got to get out into the store sprinkling some salt. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. He put us in here. He made us the salt of the earth. I'm a little salt shaker. That's all I am. I'm a little salt shaker. I got a little salt in me. I ain't got a whole lot of word, but I got a little salt in me. I can speak to your situation sometimes. I can make it better. I can encourage you. I can tell you what he done for me. I can tell you what God is, how he moved in my life. And God just saying, look, sprinkle the salt on all those bitter situations and watch and see, don't they become sweet? We want to sprinkle the salt in the womb. We want them to hurt sometime. Lord, they need to see what they doing wrong. You need to get them, Lord. Sound like our King David. Get them, Lord. Get all of them. Make them pay. Jesus said, no, you got to love your enemy now. You know, you got to love them. You know, you got to give them a cup of cold water. You know, you got to do good to them. That despitefully use you. That speak evil. And you got to do this thing. That's spreading the salt. That's sprinkling some salt. And watch the seed on that person. You may not see it. That person going to turn so sweet. Going to be sweeter than the sweetest honeycomb, as the Bible said. It's time for us to use this salt. Say, Lord, I just told the Lord, I want to be saltier. Make me salty. You know. Let your word, that salt I'm referring to is the word of God. Let your word dwell in me richly. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Help it to overflow, Lord. Because without us, Lord Jesus, God gonna get his work done. If you don't do it, he got somebody else that it will do it. Somebody standing right now in reserve. Just like Isaiah. Lord, send me, I'll go. Al don't want to go, I go. She don't want to go, Lord, send me, Lord, I go. Wait a minute, I'm just trying to see if they're going to use a salt shaker. But try sprinkling some salt. Make these situations good, you know. The bitter situations, they ain't got to stay bitter. God got a word inside of you that he wants to use. And Jace didn't have to say too many words, I heard. He just used whatever salt that he had. And God answered and delivered. God just trying to see what we going to do. Lord, I don't want to stand the fall off. As long as the Lord living, as long as my soul living, I'm going to be in the house of God. I'm going to dwell in his presence. I'm going to seek him daily. I ain't giving up until I see the roof blow off this house. I ain't giving up until I see this church filled. I ain't giving up until I see the world, my world, out there change. God's got a people out there that needs us. And we can't always be thinking and homing in on what we need, what's going on in our life. I say, Lord, I put that stuff on the back burner. That's a greater need. You already know what I need. Just help me, God, to just trust you. But God wants to use us, saints. It's time to get salty. And we know that nothing comes from man. Everything that we get, God gives us. It flows from heaven. God wants to use us. He's saying that the flowing of the Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost from Jordan. So we got some Jordans. We got some prophets at home. We got some people that needs us. You know, our children, some husbands, some mothers and sisters. I know I got some people in my family that I need to sprinkle salt. I got to love them in. I know I do. I got a work to do, but I'm asking God to show me how to do this work. Because the way that I wanted to go at it, I would have messed it up. I would have messed it completely up. People just so out of line. But I tell you, God is good. He's a wonder. So I'm just thanking the Lord that he made me a little salt shaker, that I can shake some salt and season this thing and sweeten up some situations in my household. And they are getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the day go by. God is working it out. He is. He's working it out. He's bringing people back together. He's reconciling relationships in my family. He is. He's doing it. He's doing it. And God wants to do the same thing. God got to and once that relationship be reconciled with man, it's got to be reconciled with God. They're going to come back to the Lord. They're going to come back to God. Because I ain't trying to throw no salt in nobody's wound. I'm not trying to throw no salt in nobody. I'm just trying to sprinkle some salt so they can get sweeter. Lord, help me to be sweet. Help me to love somebody. Help me to lay my life down. Help me to say no to this flesh and yes to the spirit. God bless you this morning. That's my message this morning. We can make every barren situation, every bitter situation, we can make it sweet. If we want to, we have the power to do it. Sprinkle some salt. Next time you think about you in a situation, think about the salt. You're the salt of the earth. Make it sweeter. God bless you this morning. Anybody need prayer? Anybody want to touch and agree? Stand in proxy for somebody. Terry on. Look, I've been transparent as much as I could about my son's situation. He got a number. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, he went to DOC, got incarcerated. That means when you get a number from the state, it's hard for you to do anything. Get a job, apartment, do anything. He was with some guys. Don't make no difference how you got it. I don't even want to put that out there. It don't make no difference how you got it. But one thing I told him, I said, if you believe God, you give your life to the Lord, God makes you a new creature. So all that stuff that you did, he said it's rolled away. He said it's passed away. All things become new. If you can believe that, then God will bless you. So he did that. He went. When he got out, he went to apply for a job, and he came back so elated. He was ecstatic. Not because he got the job, only he said, Dad, I got the job. That was real short. He said, but when they did my background check, they said they didn't see nothing. That's what God would do. It don't make no difference. I could have been like, well, you know, man, I told you not to go out there messing with them guys and doing all this stuff. You get a number. You can't do nothing. Boy said he was going to go back out there and start doing something because he figured because I got a number, I can't have my life back. You can have your life back. I don't care. All sin is, all unrighteousness is sin. Some of us, all of us done something, but some of us got caught and some didn't. How about that? We are all once was guilty. But it takes something for others and something for another. But it took something for him. Because mother, he was saying that now had I not got caught, I thought I was just untouchable. I wasn't going to stop. That's the love of God. stopping you in your tracks before you get in too deep.
Exactly.
And so that same kid, he's the one we're talking about trying, that's got the contract with the water company. He's the one to my dad, what you going to do? He laughed at me. Said, what can you do? I said, I can't do nothing. But word the heck out of them, like that woman did, that what can't do, that persistent. Hey, y'all said y'all need some help. My son trying to get a job. What's the deal with that? I'm leaving notes on their doors. I mean, everywhere. Every time they came around. Hey, Crystal, what's the deal? Crystal, I mean, I was worrying him until all of a sudden, he called me and said, Dad. He said, what? Come call me and say, I got to take a test tomorrow. Really? I said, you going to take the test tomorrow. Dad, now I'm signing a contract. You sign a contract. That's what God would do for you. So it don't make no difference. All we got to do is ask God and believe God. Make sure that you put some salt on the thing. Just tell them, look, reassure them. Don't you be thinking negative. God is a merciful God. So all you stand proxy for him, and we just going to touch and agree. That's all we can do. Terry on. Yep. That God will open up a door for him. Yes. Y'all want to pray with us? Y'all raise your hands. Come on.
Thank you, God.
You know, Heavenly Father, God, in the name of Jesus, you said, God, in your word, God, if two of us shall agree up on earth as touching anything, you said that you wouldn't do nothing for us, Lord, if we believe. So, Lord God, we come to you right now, God, standing on behalf of Tarion, Lord God. Lord, you told us this morning, God, that you have rolled our reproach away, God. You've taken a reproach away. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Tarion that you open up a door for him, Lord God, and let him know, Father God, that we will let him know, God, that it was you. It was God and God by himself, Lord God. So, Lord God, we ask that you give him favor, Lord. Give him life and favor, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Whatever job, God, that he goes after, Lord God, we pray, God, that he goes with an assurance, Lord God, and we pray, Lord, that you will open a door for him in Jesus' name, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, Lord, we do pray. Pray, God, and we thank you, Father, and give you all the praise, glory, and all the honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Tell them to believe. Faith without works, tell them to get on out there. Because my son didn't want to go and fill out no applications. He just didn't want to do it. I say, man, look, go out there. And at the time he came back with the testimony, I was witnessing to my neighbor across the street. He was saying the same. This man, you know, when Al came back and said what he said, he's like, really? They didn't find anything. He said nothing. Yeah, it worked. Oh, that was right when he got out of DOC. When he got out, did he? This is God. When he got out of prison, not jail, he went and got him a job. Yeah. Then he went and put himself in school. He kept going. He didn't stop. He kept going. He kept going. He kept going. We kept encouraging, man, you can do what you want to do. You can do what you want to do if you just get out there and apply yourself. Don't worry about your past. I say, people ain't going to never let you go from your past. I'm sorry. People going to always do what they say. I forgive you, but I won't forget it. They ain't going to forget you. But thanks be unto God. He forgives and he forgets. He throws them in the sea of forgiveness. He said, I am he for my own sake, he said. Well, blot out your transgression and remember them no more. I'm glad I served this God. I'm glad I ain't got to answer to no man. I'm so glad that I got to stand before God. Hallelujah. God, man, God is a miracle worker. He can do anything. You know, we sit and have these testimonies. God can do it. There is nothing out of his realm. Everything is light unto him, if we can believe it. We got miracles up on miracles up on miracles in this church, and we're going to see more miracles because we're going to start believing God even more. God trying to take us farther. You know, we got to have a double portion. Elijah knew he had to have a double portion of what he had to deal with. We got to have a double portion because we got to stand against some stuff. I was thinking about the Pride Month. I said, Lord, it is sad, but somebody going to have to stand up. I said, Lord, wouldn't that be something? You say, well, you go down on Grove and stand up and cry out against them. What would I do? I know I have to, but Lord, I want to do it. Yes, I want to do it. A lot of things, I do everything. He said, but you know, we're going to be putting ourselves, well, we're going to be in positions and predicaments that like never before. Because the sin is getting stronger and stronger. They're getting bolder and bolder and bolder. And we got to love them. You know, we got love, you know. God said love them. But my Bible said cry out aloud and spare them not. Show my people their sins. That's what he said. And the truth will make you free. I ain't going out there trying to tell them, you know, y'all going to hell. Look, this is unright. Whatever the Lord tells me to say, that's what I want to be found saying. Because if he tell me, said, some going to receive it and some ain't. You know, they going to throw me in jail. So I need a Silas to go with me so we can praise. So we can praise our way. I'll go by. Lord, I'll go if you go with me. God bless you this morning. I hope I've encouraged you. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, we are the salt of the earth. And our salt is so much different. You know, God said, I take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And we can salt this place up, boy, and be so sweet. And I got to start at home first. I got to start at salt in my house first. Sweep around my own front door. Then I'll start sweeping around somebody else's, you know. There'll be nothing else. We're going to stand and dismiss. God bless you this morning. Do you want to be salty? I guess not. Don't think that other salty. Yeah. I want to be salty. You know? I want to make some bitter situations. Because ain't no need playing with this thing. Some bitter situations. Whole lot of bitter situations. And we can make them sweet. You know? Here, take that. God loves you. Here, take that. How to bring you out. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for making us a new creature, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for making us the salt of this earth, Lord Jesus, that with our words, oh God, that you have put in us, Lord God, we can change things, Lord. And we just thank and praise you, Father God, for what you're doing in this church, God, how you're moving, God, how you're raising us up, Lord. And we pray, Father God, as we leave one another, God, leave this place, God, but never from your presence. We ask, God, that you continue to watch over us, Lord God. Continue, God, to give us your grace, God, in the name of Jesus. Order our steps, Lord, daily, Lord Jesus. These are the blessings, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And the church will say, amen. Hallelujah.